What happens when three buffoons give life advice, explore unrealistic situations, and give random topics more thought than they probably deserve? It's the Spitballers Podcast with Andy, Mike, and Jason.
Jingly badingly, what up, Mr. Kringly? Hey!
All right.
Mr. Kringly?
I actually really like that one because I know that you were not prepared.
No, I wasn't.
This was fly by the seat of your pants, and I...
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Like, your pants are looking fine.
I know it's good when Mike breaks out halfway through the scat into one of his cackle laughs.
Oh, Mr. Kringly?
That's right. Bajingles and bajingles.
Look, people take liberties with those names to make it... To make it rhyme with what you needed to rhyme with, that was, I mean, you got your catchphrase in there?
Not bad, right?
No, not bad at all.
It's been a while. Welcome into the Spitballers, episode 176. If you couldn't tell already, it is Christmas time around here. We've got a best Christmas traditions draft.
It's not just around here. You said it was Christmas time around here, but it's
everywhere?
It's like, if you are in a region...
Okay.
That celebrates the holiday of Christmas. It is Christmas time.
Now, to be fair, they could be listening to this years later, which would still be Christmas time if it is exactly on the year later. But months later.
Okay.
Now we've got a problem.
Best Christmas traditions. And just to, you know, this is the Spitballers podcast, so I might as well start here. In the southern hemisphere of the world, Christmas is still the same day. It's just summertime.
Yes.
Okay.
That is true. And when you actually start to think about it, it's very bizarre because we're in Arizona, and even though I have never in my entire life experienced the
snowy Christmas,
the white Christmas. The picturesque, this is what Christmas actually looks like. It's never looked like that for me. I've been here. I've been in California, but still in my head, you were like, what does Christmas look like? Okay, well, there's snow outside. Mm-hmm. There's pine trees. And
I mean, Santa's on a sleigh.
Yes.
Right? No matter where in the world, Santa's on a sleigh.
He's not in like a golf cart.
No, he's not. There's no wheels on that thing. He's not rolling down the street.
He's not coming from the pool.
Yeah. So it's like, what
But he does go down the chimney the opposite direction in Australia.
That is accurate.
But, and he drives a sleigh on the other side of the road.
Yeah, the wrong side. But
follows the law. He's a law abiding.
What I haven't thought of is, do Australians? What is Christmas to them? What does that look like?
This is why I brought it up. I have no idea. I've never been there. I mean, I don't know what the seasons in the southern hemisphere are opposite, right?
Yes, they are. So, and it's weird.
That means it's their winter. Is their May, June, July?
Yes. My guess, and I could be wrong here. My guess is that it's 100% the same. Like the picturesque, I think that they also think of a snowy Christmas. Now that could be massively ignorant because of the hemisphere I live on. So I'm excited to learn once this episode comes out.
Sounds very American.
Australia, please let us know.
I do know for a fact that the sleigh are pulled by kangaroos and not reindeer.
Well, I mean...
I know that's a fact.
You know how hard it is to get reindeer down in Australia?
And then obviously all the elves are koala bears. But other than that, I don't know anything else about their Christmas.
I figured it was emus.
Mm.
But I looked up, when is winter in Australia? Winter 2022 will begin on June 1st.
Weird.
And end August 31st.
That's strange.
That's not just strange. That breaks your brain.
So that does mean that you can live in winter all the time if you split your time between the northern and southern hemispheres.
That is true.
You could be permanently winter.
Yes, because of the old Earth on its axis, or it's slightly tilted.
Yes. I know you're just waiting to get into the real detailed science, but I'm going to hold off. I'm going to hold you off, Mike.
Okay.
Don't go PhD on us just yet. I know it's tempting.
I'll hold it.
Thank you so much to everybody who listens to this fine podcast and subscribes, reviews, and please tell your friends if you enjoy this. I have noticed something.
Jason's cackling.
Sorry, I just
You're deep diving.
I Googled Christmas in Australia because this is
perfect.
Fascinating.
Yeah, perfect. Here
and
we
the
go.
First sentence is exactly what we're saying. In Australia, Christmas comes towards the beginning of the summer holidays. That's so weird.
It is weird.
It's broken.
Also, when I said it comes in the towards the beginning,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was not my mistake. I was reading word for
word. Oh, from a really good source here.
Yeah. Why Christmas
in the towards?
I don't know. Google.
Thank you for telling your friends about us. I have noticed something. We are a very popular podcast.
Yes.
On road trips. People love the Spitballers on road trips. Being able to go through episodes, we're getting towards the 200 mark.
If you don't have good audio on a road trip, that's a nightmare.
So you call it good audio?
Oh yeah.
You're like, man, this some trip is lacking. Here. We need some good audio.
I'm saying, I just did. You know, we recently
something to listen to.
What is this? Fire up the good audio. Like, what is that?
I'm just describing.
No one describes it like that.
Yeah, no one.
What I'm saying is, you need something good to listen to. Audio is what you listen to.
You listen to audio?
Of course I do.
We need some good video up on the screen.
I don't listen to video. I listen to audio.
Oh, man. All right. We are relentless.
Can you skip to the next audio, please?
Would you rather?
My mic was really taken aback by your turn of phrase. Pam from Patreon says, which curse would you rather have for the rest of your life? Okay. This sounds fun.
Which word?
No, which curse?
Oh.
Yeah. Like not
this,
which
not
word.
Not on this show.
No. All animals hate you. Okay. All animals, which, you know, you got the pet implications there, but it's also wild animals, right? You're out in the woods. You're out.
Don't want to go there.
The birds.
Yeah.
Number two. So that's curse number one. All animals hate you. You've been cursed. Number two, people have difficulty understanding you when you speak.
Mm. Oh,
that's frustrating.
When you're on that third repeat.
The third repeat it's an awkward place.
Like, never mind.
It's like when
I give up.
When people can't hear you, like, you know, I've brought this up. My wife, she doesn't have the best hearing. And when I have to say something, and she says, what again? I am filing papers right then.
Guys,
it's over.
I was at a Freddy's restaurant the other day, which is a fast food chain out here.
Mm-hmm.
I went up to the counter. I'm trying to ask a question or order something.
Oh, no.
And the 12-year-old behind the counter looked very uninterested in his job, and everything he said was and I got into that point with him. I go, oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't understand you. Fine. And his repeat, same volume, same voice.
Mm-hmm. How many times did you continue to play along before you just nodded and gave up?
What I did was I made a joke that was somewhat like, haha, you're going to have to speak up. Then he did it again. And then I had to make the self joke of, I don't know what's wrong with me. I guess my ears aren't working today.
See, I
You fell on the sword?
I fell on the sword.
Why?
For this mumbling
for honor.
Child.
Yeah,
I don't know what I even ordered.
We're in the holidays, and for the Thanksgiving weekend, I checked into a hotel. And because of the world we live in right now, masks? And
yep.
Plexiglass.
Yes.
The
yes.
combo between yes. us. There was no my ear was down, like, on the counter trying to hear through the little slot. And I still couldn't hear. And so eventually I literally just did the nod and agree. I have no idea what this woman said during the check-in process. I didn't know where my room was. I just used the map because I couldn't hear. And I asked at the beginning, it's just, what? Oh, I'm sorry, what? And then eventually I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to leave here with a smile on my face. I give up. I quit.
You know what we need? There needs to be cups.
What?
There needs to be a cup, like just a stack of cups at the front desk so that you can do the trick where you hold the cup up to the plexiglass.
With your ear in it.
And then you can actually hear what is being said. Because I've done the same thing where
it's bad.
There's all these safety precautions, which, good. Like, let's stay safe. But the mic, I'm at a fast food restaurant on my knees, like trying to scream up under the plexiglass, still making no headway.
Just write it down. Write it to pass me a napkin. What are you saying?
I've been there. So the last one, so people have difficulty understanding you when you speak. And the third one is nightly nightmares. Nightly nightmares.
That,
so which curse of the three would you rather have the rest of your life?
So the nightly nightmares is awful, right? I mean, terrible. If you're having a real nightmare, you're going to be afraid to go to sleep.
You might wake up sweaty.
It affects the quality of your sleep as well.
Absolutely. But I don't know that it has the same physical impact. Like, I think you can get REM sleep while having a nightmare. I don't think those are mutually exclusive. But the other two have a real physical impact on your daily awake life. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like the nightmares isn't going to affect my active life as much.
It might.
I'm not saying it couldn't, but it's not a guarantee. Whereas animals hating me.
That's a problem.
The birds are, when Andy said birds, I was like, oh man, birds are, we don't even realize they're everywhere.
I still.
We don't even realize.
You don't realize. You do not realize. You go to your car, and you don't think there's birds around you, but there's birds up in the trees. You want to know why you don't think about the birds? Because they don't hate you.
They're scared of you.
If they hated
you. I just saw another video of somebody hit in the face with a bird on a roller coaster.
What?
And
no.
Yes, she was. It was in the high G-force part of the ride. So this bird was plastered to her face.
Oh, my gosh.
And to her face?
To her face. Oh. And she has to just grab it and throw it off of her.
Did the bird, like, explode on the face?
No. The bird, it was like it softly flew into the face, but then the G-forces kept it pinned to the face.
A bird mask.
Yeah. And it was a bird mask. It was a pigeon, too.
Yeah.
Dirty bird. All right. The animals hating you, that'd be hard, but I can, you know, I could live indoors, I guess. I could fight off the birds.
It's not just birds, though, man. Anytime you walk past a dog.
I think I'm okay with people not understanding me when I speak. I will find another way to communicate.
Yeah.
I don't need to talk to people.
Oh, wait. Do I get to stop talking to people?
I know that would be a real delight for you.
Yeah, I'm taking that one. I can't live without my animal friends. I can live without my people friends.
I don't think that I could take the people having difficulty understanding you when you speak, because the frustration, we talk more than we see animals. We talk more than we, dream. We're always communicating. And if people always have a hard time understanding me, at some point, my frustration of not being able to properly communicate, I think that would lead me into pure depression. Like, I wouldn't want to talk. I wouldn't. That would be devastatingly difficult. And
our job would suffer, yeah.
Yeah, that right. I do. Well, to be fair, people have difficulty understanding me when I speak already on this job.
Even if they have good audio?
even with the good audio. I mean, this is good audio, but bad words. Is usually the way that the misinterpretation comes. But that one's out for me. So I'm between the nightmares and the animals.
Nightmares would be a real, real, real problem.
Yeah.
And you talk about, I mean,
every once in a while they're fine.
And if animals hate you, does that mean they're trying to attack you all the time?
Yes,
of course.
If they hate you.
Okay. Yeah, I'm. So my daughter's been going through sleep problems recently, and I've seen the effect that poor sleep or not being able to sleep. We're in Arizona. I'm going to have to start packing. I'm taking the animals. I pack for protection. We
what
can
are you
do
packing,
that here.
Bear spray?
Oh, I thought you were packing to move away to where there are no animals.
No. I'm packing heat. I'm strapped. I'm ready. If
you're
those
all firing into the air at these pigeons coming
these
at
birds
you.
Go, I'll take you all on. Blocka, blocka, blocka. Yeah, I mean, just look, it's for, you know. In
man
the event-
arrested said animals hate me.
Man arrested for shooting an air at
no,
birds.
No, they hate me.
You don't understand.
Why
bring,
did you
bring
shoot
me your dog? You'll see.
Shoot the neighbor's dog.
Oh, no.
Wow, okay, so you're taking that one.
Yeah,
Mike, your final answer is the understanding when they speak?
Understanding when I speak.
Yeah.
Yep.
Tim from the website. would you rather question for us? Would you rather be able to fly, but only at 5 miles an hour? Or teleport, but only to toilets you have used before?
It's like wave points in games, in video games.
It is.
Because you have to visit a location before you can teleport there.
When I get to the Barnes & Noble, I run to the restroom so I can then portal to the Barnes & Noble in the future?
Okay. Can we at least agree that the teleport will block you if the toilet is occupado?
Yeah, yes. I think for yes.
Like you're like, I'm out of here. You're like, oh, okay.
Hold on.
In use. But then
that's not worth it.
excuse me. I didn't mean to know you were in here.
Isn't there a chance that these places could change their toilets out? Would you then go to where that toilet is now located?
I think
like
the
dump. Dump?
Yeah.
Yes, I think the power is with the toilet itself.
It is so you gotta be.
Now at the same time, look, I don't think this is that big a downgrade on teleportation. I really don't. I mean, I visit a lot of bathrooms.
Yeah.
Fancy restaurants. I go on a trip. I've never gone on a trip to another state and not used the restroom.
But you would have to, unlike a teleportation like you'd think of, like right now you have teleportation. I'm going to go to Mount Everest. Well, you have to have gone there once without teleportation. If you want the ability to use this, so you're going to have to, like right now, you want to go to France, you're going to have to fly to France, find a toilet in France, sit down
sure,
on the toilet. Now you have to use it, right? Toilets you've used.
Yeah, but you can
yes,
sit down
you have
and have
to
a,
use it.
You can sit down and have a Wii.
Yeah,
well,
I can
wait,
use
can't
a
we make this a number two only teleportation?
Okay, yeah. Sure.
Well, now this becomes a problem.
Because I like the idea of you wanting to go somewhere and you have to also take a dump there first.
I don't do the public restroom dump, so this is a real issue for me.
Would you be knocking on doors? In France?
I mean...
Ma'am.
No.
May I please use your restroom?
Look, okay, on a vacation, right? I just went to California for a couple days. Obviously, I'm gonna do a duty.
Right.
That being said, most of the time, I brought up restaurants or places around town. I don't do that. I've never once pooped at a friend's house.
You
or
also said when you camp, you just don't go.
No, well, that was the question I was going to bring up. If I go to the top of Everest, can I turn it into a toilet? If I take a dump at the top of Everest,
you
now my toilet.
You got to bring one up Everest.
But you have to, at least the portable ones.
Okay.
And then you have to leave it there.
Yeah.
And hope nobody moves it.
Which they probably won't.
If they move it, though, I just teleport to wherever they moved it.
Yeah, but who knows where that would be.
Oh, man, I hope I don't teleport while they throw it off the mountain. What is this toilet seat? Chuck it. Look, I'm not flying at 5 miles an hour.
There's... Look, I get it that as a transportation method, 5 miles an hour doesn't sound great. If you're like, I'm going to fly to California. No, but like vertically, like 5 miles. How fast do you move upstairs? Are you moving 5 mph?
No way. No, I'm not moving that fast upstairs.
Yeah,
so
it
now
will feel really slow in the air.
It will feel but
real slow.
But also like.
But I don't care about flying up my stairs, Mike. That's not what I want, superhero.
But what like, would you actually want it for? Because
jumping off of really high stuff.
No, I get that. But that's not, cool. I mean, that would be cool. But are you using this as a form of transportation in any way, shape, or form?
No. I mean,
that's what I mean. You're not 5 miles.
It's the same way you use walking as a form of transportation, which I don't view walking as a form of transportation personally.
That's weird.
I just don't know if, I mean, it would be very cool.
It's a parlor trick.
But it's It's less practical than the...
I could decorate my Christmas tree real easy.
It's so funny. Now I'm starting to think of all the implications of this toilet transportation thing. And I'm like, you know, some people, they got long distance relationships. They're like, oh, I want to be able to see my significant other. But I got to go take a dump in a new place first.
That's tough. That's tough, especially if you're in the dating process.
Right.
You know, once you're married, whatever, you could poop in front of each other. But when you're in that dating life, you're not like in front of each other, but like in the same house.
I was the first one to hear it that way.
Down, poop wherever you want.
Does that come in a honeymoon set?
Yeah. I mean, you're right. The dating process. And telling your new boyfriend girlfriend, like, look, I have a superpower. I can teleport to your place. But I will need to take a poop in your toilet.
Take a quick dump. Now, what if you don't? I mean, this is like Mike said. Okay, you can always squeeze out a little urine sample, but you can't just manufacture a bowel movement.
Not always. No.
That's why this teleporter would be carrying
a lot of
Mucilax or whatever it's called.
Yeah, no, a lot of like
suppositories,
you know, pills. Not suppository. I mean, I go the pill route, but you need to be able to provoke.
Yeah, that's tough. I'm still taking the teleportation. I mean, this would be incredible, and I think it Miralax, would really.
That's what I was looking
it
for.
It would really change my travel behavior. I mean, I would become a public pooper. I would want
sure,
to mark my teleportation network as wide and far as possible.
You could live anywhere and still work right here.
Absolutely. Oh, man, that's cool.
Until our two bathrooms are filled and you have to beep, beep.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm going
like,
to work.
Think of a cruise ship.
Ooh.
I mean, like, if you
in
saw
and
some,
out.
If you teleport onto a cruise ship, you're supposed to be there. They're not going to go, excuse me,
where's
sir.
Where's your ticket?
When I see your ticket, you're like, no, I'm on the boat. I'm here.
Throw you overboard.
No ticket.
Yeah, and then you just teleport home, away. Sleep at night, and come back to the
cruise
ship.
Yeah, even if they do throw you off.
Yeah,
you're
I mean,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm
I
doing that.
I think you got to go with that one.
You have to.
Like, it has.
Is this toilet portation?
Oh, toilet portation.
It's been there the whole time.
Oh man, toilet portation is great. You're getting a full 9 for that one.
Shannon from Patreon, would you rather have super cheap subpar sheets?
No.
Or super cheap subpar pillow?
Oh no.
This is actually a very sensible question. It sounds like, you know, we're trying to make some crazy issue here, but the reality is one of these is far more important.
This is an easy answer.
It is super easy. I have done this in my own life recently.
Really?
Yeah, I upgraded one of the two. I just was saving.
I'm fascinated.
I was saving some money, and I, you know, I didn't want to do the whole set. I was being a cheapskate.
Okay.
And there was one thing that was far more important.
The pillow.
The pillow,
yeah,
for sure.
This is easy. Because subpar sheets, you can actually overcome those just by wearing clothing. If you wear a comfy pair of pajamas, you're fine.
I don't do clothing at night.
Well, even
yeah,
still, nonetheless.
A la mode over here.
Yeah.
I don't do pants.
Nonetheless, the pillow, you've got the softer skin on your face. You need that comfort.
For me, it's
well,
all
hold
about
on,
temperature.
Hold on.
It's temperature.
No, because that's just the actual pillow that is nice and luxurious. The sheet.
Sheet on top is the same set?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Wait a minute.
You don't buy a pillow and it comes with a pillow case.
Mike is actually right on this one.
I see it now in the question, but I interpreted it, and you obviously did too.
As a set.
Would you rather have good sheets or a good pillowcase? Then it's pillowcase, but this is a totally...
Yeah,
so now all my sheets and my pillowcase are either nice or awful.
Yep.
Do you have...
But the pillow's either lumpy or... I still got to go pillow.
What kind of pillow do you go with? Are you a feather pillow? Do you have one of those foam neck pillows?
No, I use it's a supportive, I think it's a spring pillow.
A spring, what, like with?
Not like hard metal springs, but like.
There ain't no such thing, brother. You don't have a spring pillow because
I'm
they the
world,
don't exist.
I'm going to tell the world what pillow
whoa,
I have because I bought
whoa.
It.
Whoa, whoa, you will do
I,
nothing of
I
the sort.
They have not paid for that advertisement. I have, so this is a question near and dear to my heart. I have a very expensive pillow that was given to me as a gift.
Oh.
By my wife. And she has, to this day, the worst pillow that exists.
She didn't, wait, so she bought you one as a gift and didn't just do the combo of no, one for me?
It's a very expensive pillow. And... Yes, she bought me one as a gift, and it is awesome. I mean, it is a perfect pillow. I've had it for years, and every night she sleeps on this. Just it might as well be an empty. It's like a bag that's been hollowed out. It's just you're not even using
a
pillow.
She still won't upgrade the pillow.
She has not yet. She doesn't care as much for things for herself as she does for things around her. And she has a terrible husband that has not fixed the problem
for her.
Yeah,
why haven't you bought her a nice pillow?
Thoughtlessness, carelessness. The list is very long, Mike.
Okay.
But every single night, I know she would love to have my pillow. I will never allow that.
Wow.
This was
well,
a
that's
gift.
Because it's your pillow.
This was a gift. She got. If we bought one pillow as a couple, and we had one good one and one bad one, we could figure out some rotation, but she got me this gift, and I will not. I am honoring her by showing how much I love the gift she got me. Anytime she's using it, I will pull it out from under her head and take it back for myself.
Okay.
Out of love for her gift-giving abilities.
So, in my head, I'm like, you know, what's an expensive pillow situation actually looking like? And then I Google expensive pillow, and there is someone trying to hawk a $6,000 pillow.
Okay, this is not, we're not at that level here. We're not at that level.
Now I know why
here.
You only bought one.
Yeah, we're not.
What is this? What is, I don't even want to say their name on this.
No, you can't advertise
that. Just Google expensive pillows.
There's
and
no,
you will find
it,
one.
If it was made out of gold, it wouldn't be worth it. Also, probably very uncomfortable.
I just bought one. No, I didn't. But I do want to know what that feels like now. Like, can you get a one-nighter?
You
want to,
like, I'll rent my pillow out
for
a little bit?
Yeah, do people rent the $6,000 pillows out?
Well, I can't speak for the $6,000 pillow, but I will rent you mine if you want. It comes in different, there's different like layers, so you can have it to the firmness of your choice.
Okay.
But I'm taking my pillow. I love it. I will have bad sheets and my awesome pillow.
What about
you, Mike? You didn't really weigh in here.
I got to go with, it has to be the comfy pillow. Because I'll wear the,
That'll be brutal. I mean, your neck's all out of sorts.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll go.
You ever
sheetless.
Had a pillow?
I'll just no covers. Just
oh, I was gonna say, you ever had a pillow so bad that you decided you're better off without one? You're just I'm gonna lay flat on the bed.
My wife's. It's awful, man. It is the worst. It's really unfair.
Christmas is coming up.
Shh, it's already planned.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot, mm-hmm. She listens to this.
She didn't hear that part.
Yeah.
Did she hear the part about the $6,000 pillow?
Man.
I don't love you that much.
No one loves anyone that much.
Al, how are you doing today?
Doing great. Thank
you. What would you choose?
I would go with the pillow.
Yeah, okay. So it's unanimous there. Do we have time for one more would you rather, or do you want us to move on?
We got nothing but time.
You always say that. Mm-hmm. Simeon from Patreon, would you rather go on a hot air balloon ride or skydiving?
I have been skydiving.
Skydived, Mike?
I went skydiving on my 18th birthday.
Really?
This is a story I'm sure that we have.
I don't know why
I
didn't know that.
I don't think so, because I've never heard this.
Yes.
Did you survive?
Barely. I did the, I went tandem skydiving on my 18th birthday, and it is.
That kind of surprises me.
Number one, terrifying.
Yeah.
Really? Jumping out of the plane?
Yes.
Okay.
I guess there's not a ton to the story. The things I do remember are, you're strapped in everywhere, right? You know, the straps go under the legs and in the crotch area and everything.
You're attached to the person behind you.
Yes. But they don't clip in until you're about to jump. But on the ride up, I do remember I couldn't get... Like, I couldn't shift in a position where it wasn't cutting off, the strap wasn't cutting off the blood to my leg. So by the time we're at the altitude to jump, my leg is just,
numb?
Is done.
Just hanging off the side.
And that's for security.
I'm on the stank, yeah, but it was just pinching
tight.
The blood, and it was like, I had the stanky leg. I could, like, this leg was not.
10 minutes longer, it's going to fall off.
Probably. But then I went, so, because... When I was younger and I could actually do like thrill rides and everything, and I would go on everything except for spinny, as I loved nothing more than the drop,
the weightlessness,
when your stomach goes up.
Okay. Oh yeah,
because
yeah.
the huge,
belly tickles,
the belly tickles exactly on the big first drop of the roller coaster of a flume log ride. That's my favorite sensation when it comes to thrill rides. So I'm like, this is going to be the ultimate. And so you go.
Do you actually get that jumping out of the plane?
No. Not at all.
I didn't think so.
You can't hear. It's so loud. It's funny because once you've done it and you watch like movies where they talk
about
skydiving.
To each other.
Like in Point Break. They're having a conversation. Like, That is impossible. Number one, you cannot hear. Number two, you can barely breathe. the wind is forcing itself up your nose. You cannot breathe through your mouth. And there is absolutely no feeling of falling. You feel like you're just standing in the most powerful wind that you have ever stood in, and you're not really moving.
So the wind resistance changes everything that you think you're going to feel.
Yes, that is what you feel, is the force of air pushing against you, not falling. At least that's
what
it was.
So were you happy you did it?
Yes, I'm happy I wouldn't do it again.
How was the landing? Rocky?
No, we did okay.
Have one leg to use.
Once you pull the chute, then it's really bizarre because it's been so loud for so long of the free fall, and then it is just deathly silent.
Because, and then that's when, is it more fun during that part because you get to see everything?
Yes, that part is more interesting. Of you get to look around and have that perspective of how
you talk then?
Yes. Oh yeah, yeah. Once the chute is open, you can have the conversation.
My leg's about to fall off. Please get us down to the ground.
Now you didn't do the tandem face to face though, right? That's not
No.
It's called the love jump.
We didn't go the romantic couple jump.
The love jump.
Yeah. That's the honeymoon special. Now I'm curious because when you do skydiving now, a lot of times they record it as you go down.
They did record it. It's on a VHS tape somewhere.
Did you have a big like over the shoulder camera? Just this giant VCR recorder.
That was Steve's job, the other guy that works for them.
I don't remember, but I have to imagine someone had some kind of helmet cam.
Did you go by yourself or with friends?
I went with.
Did your dad go?
No, my mom went.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I went with one of my best friends.
Did she survive?
She did not make it.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Now I know why we haven't heard this story before. It's so painful.
If he dropped that news at the end of this story, all this commentary on it.
Yeah.
A little caveat here. My mother did.
Yeah, the mom you guys have met, that was not my original mom.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
But no, she went and my buddy went as well.
Wow. All right. Well, that's so
fun. I did not know that.
Now, I have been in a hot air balloon twice.
Have you really?
What? I have, yeah.
So I'm jealous of that.
Okay.
Well, I have always felt like the hot air. I've never done it, and I want to hear your story. But before you share it, I've always thought that it feels very helpless being in a hot air balloon because there is no way to be nimble at any point in that experience, right?
No, there is. You are at the mercy of the wind.
I mean, if something's coming at you,
we're going that way now.
Right.
Exactly. You have no control. They don't know.
It's all the wind, right?
I think so.
No rudders up there.
I don't believe that they had any control. I've been on two different hot air balloons, and I think it's just go up, and then there's like a vehicle on the ground that kind of tries to follow you so that they could be there when you land. And they have not perfected how to land in a hot air balloon. I mean, this is hundreds of years the hot air balloons have been around, and they have given no care to the landing, figuring out like a better way to do this. You're just going down to the ground,
and
there's
hit?
People down there that are trying to make sure you don't fall over when the basket smacks the ground. And sometimes you do. There's just nothing you can do about
it.
That's
the name of the game?
Did you fall over?
Or did both of yours land? Both of mine did the same thing, which is we tipped, like we turned like we were going to fall over, but then the other people were able to like grab ropes and like I felt like we were cattle being, you know.
Rassled.
Yes, that's what you do with cattle. You rassle them. Being in a hot air balloon is primarily stupid and pointless.
Really? I was wondering.
Yeah, I mean, you go up and it doesn't feel like anything special. Like, it's pretty cool when you're going up. You leave the ground, you're like, oh, we're flying, we're getting a little higher. Once you get kind of to cruising altitude, you're just really high and you can't see anything of note.
Landscape.
Yeah,
it seems like it's a small world ride of thrill rides.
Yeah, but you can't go anywhere. You're in a little box.
How many people are in your basket?
Are you strapped in?
No, you're not.
So
if you climbed over the edge, yep, they allow it. They say
you can just jump.
They say that's on you. And I said no, I'm good. So they asked.
Jumpers? Anybody?
I think I know one of them was just the two of us and one was like, both were dates. Like, that's why, that's why it's like, oh, we're going to do the fancy.
So it wasn't like this romantic thing that you hoped it would be?
No. And what it sold is this super romantic thing. You're going to have this like rolled out red carpet, mimosas, and then leave in a hot air balloon. I mean, goodness gracious. You're in the middle of a desert. There's like a little tiny blanket with a fold out table and like some canned mimosas. And then you get in this, it's,
and then and you get in the basket, and then there's just like a dude like a foot away from you.
Yes, yes.
Usually, to make it real romantic.
Almost always gigantic beard. And this was a long time ago before beards were in. This was like, I just don't want to shave guy.
Huh.
So.
And he's controlling whether you live or die.
That is correct. He is not controlling where we go. He has no control over that.
All he can, like if you are coming at some power lines, his choice is under them or over them.
I would always choose
over.
Yeah, you
got to go over.
If you see the size of a hot air balloon, you're never going under power lines, ever.
The big bearded guy goes, I'm trying to make a decision here. Guys, what do you think? Over or under?
I've always thought I could go under one of these.
All right, we've got to move on.
Is this real life?
All right. Is this real life? We share, each of us, we share a story from the real world. Something that actually happened that makes you shake your head. Something we wanted to share with each other. I'm going to get mine out of the way. Do you mind, Jason?
I don't mind, but mine is a pretty nice segue.
Okay, go for it.
Because we're talking about flight and, you know, the dangers of the hot air balloon.
No. Where is this going?
This one is seven plane crashes.
What?
In 7 days for this pilot. Ends at the bottom of Lake Michigan.
What? Okay, hold on. That's the headline?
That is the article headline. Seven plane crashes in 7 days for this pilot. Ends at the bottom of Lake Michigan.
Did he die?
He is fine. He never got injured in seven plane crashes.
Were these intentional?
No. So he gets this.
He's a first timer.
I mean, fool me once.
Yeah.
This was a bad week. This pilot goes, and he's a licensed pilot, and he's the proud new owner of an amphibious airplane called the Seawind 3000. So he went and he
sounds
got
like
this,
a lucky guy.
He got this aircraft that had not been flown for years. And apparently maybe he should have done a little bit more work. And so he
used aircraft.
Yeah, it's not like, I mean, but buying a used car.
So he has
used aircraft.
Yeah.
It's a fixer exactly upper.
Has not passed the 128 point inspection apparently. So he crashes on the test flight in California that day. The landing was bad. A lot of landing gear problems. So it's like a crash landing. Everybody's okay. Everybody's fine. They are able to fix it up. Okay. The next day, we're not talking. The next day, the plane had
another go.
Had an engine stall, and they came down hard. This is in New Mexico, so he had a flight. He's in a different state and crashes with engine failure.
I scratched my car once, and it took him 2 weeks to fix it.
Right. So then the next day, he has another crash landing in Mexico. They're fixing this up every day. Put some duct tape on it. How do you possibly fly after little crash landings? And this is a small plane. This isn't like a giant aircraft. I looked at this thing. It's it's a personal aircraft.
It's unbelievable. Of like you got to get back on the horse. Like you don't have to do it the next day.
Crash 4 was due to...
Was he in a hurry?
Crash 4 was due to the left wing. The landing was in Nebraska, so he had a successful flight.
So we got from Mexico to Nebraska.
That is right. The next day...
That's a good distance.
Another test flight on the repairs ended in yet another crash in Nebraska.
What is happening?
Crash 6 on the sixth day, a hydraulic pressure gauge was registering zero. The fuel gauge showed an uneven supply, skid down on the runway in Michigan. So he's all over the country, crashing everywhere.
This man.
He's fine.
No. This man is after insurance money. Like, there's no way that you keep crashing this vehicle when your goal is... He's trying to total the plane, and his engineers are like, "No, we can fix this. We can fix this back up, sir. We can get it in the air tomorrow." And he's like, "You sure? Are you sure you can?"
If it's not that, then what are you doing getting back in this plane? I know you probably spent a lot of money for it, but
no.
So that is insane.
My favorite one is the final crash, Crash 7.
Oh, we haven't heard the final.
You have not. Since it had so many recent issues with the landing gear deploying, the pilot promised the FAA that he would keep the landing gear down for his 25-minute flight.
Wait. How does
the FAA's like, all right.
Yeah.
How was the FAA letting this person fly over and over?
Here's a problem.
Okay.
You shouldn't fly with the landing gear out. The landing gear caused the plane to go vertically into the water that he had to land in first. So he went nose down into Lake Michigan, and his brand new, many times crashed plane.
It was not brand new.
Well, that's true for him. Is at the bottom of Lake Michigan now.
And he's fine.
He escaped unscathed.
And now forever he can tell the story. I've survived 7 plane crashes.
Yeah.
Did you get the follow-up? Man collects gigantic insurance check for plane at bottom of lake.
That's insane.
Come on.
You would want to parachute if you went in this man's plane.
That is absurd.
Mine is short and sweet, but it still entertained me greatly. And I think it might be something that you would do, Jason, if the situation was slightly different.
Okay, let's hear it.
Maryland homeowner burns down house trying to fight snakes.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. I hear you, Maryland homeowner.
Oh, no.
I approve of this message.
And if you see the pictures of this fire, this is a raging inferno. This thing was burnt to a crisp on November 23rd, trying to manage a snake infestation. The homeowner tried to use smoke from coals to fight the serpents in a house on Big Woods Road.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
And from what I understand, the status of the homeowner, safe. No human injuries. Snake status, unknown.
Oh, that's
undetermined.
That snake got away. It's a snake.
Do they not need oxygen?
No, they're slippery. It got in there in the first place.
I mean, it's true. You say stop, drop, and roll. You want to be low to the ground.
That's right.
To avoid the smoke inhalation. He's laughing. Or hissing.
Just rolling.
No, I mean, look, my family. You know, this last year we moved into our dream house. We want to live there forever. If I ever found a tarantula there, I don't know what I don't know if I could live there. I don't know if I could come home ever again, and I might think about burning it to the ground for insurance money. I mean, I shouldn't admit that here,
call that pilot.
Scrub it from the tape.
Cut that.
So he didn't intend to burn the house down. He wasn't like, die, snake!
But he might. You're saying from your experience with certain animals, he may not be that disappointed.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if
he may be kind of sort of fine.
I would, if all I had to kill the tarantula was a flamethrower, I would use it. I would hope that the house is fine. But if that's all I have at my disposal, it's either it's life or death. So, yes, the house is secondary.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
That's funny. Mike, what do you got for us?
All right, so I got it's the holidays, we're the draft coming up, we're doing our favorite Christmas traditions. I thought, like, I'm going to go with a good story, an inspiring story.
All right.
I like it.
Look at you.
And
regular miss.
But I couldn't find one.
This one is fascinating. So there was a grandmother, and she sent her grandson a text message inviting them to Thanksgiving dinner. Turns out her grandson had a new phone number.
Oh.
And she was texting a complete stranger. But the stranger decided to respond and said, "Well, who is this?" And she responded, "Well, it's your grandma." And then they said, "Well, may I have a picture And the grandma's like confused and sends a photo of herself over. And somehow this conversation just ends up, it keeps on going. And then the stranger ends up going to Thanksgiving dinner with this random grandmother who had texted them. And this is now something that has been going on for 6 years.
Oh.
This tradition has kept, like, even this, I mean, this is a sadder point of grandmother's husband has unfortunately passed, and they're still going. Like, they've kept on the tradition of these two complete stranger families have met up and created their own tradition that they have Thanksgiving together.
That is awesome.
It's a really hard...
That's amazing.
I was so happy to hear that that started 6 years ago and is ongoing, because if that happened this year, I'd be holding my breath for, like... grandmother.
Sure. For the bad part.
Right, from the bad part of the stranger that she let into the house. But that is delightful.
So you're saying if you randomly text some people, you could end up with a friendship?
You could. And you could end up with a Netflix deal, because apparently Netflix has picked up the story and they're going to run something about like the families that you choose. And so it's like, that's a feel-good story,
fantastic.
Man.
That's fantastic. There was in the news this like last couple weeks, there was... some like the Notre Dame prep school basketball team that was making a group text, and they accidentally texted one digit off from
from the Buccaneers from football one of the guys.
And it was a player from the Buccaneers, and then they ended up chatting with, you know, everybody, Lenny and Tom Brady. We got to start just randomly texting people. Like, hey,
that
you want
to not be the best?
Do you want to go see Spider-Man?
Meet me here, random person.
No, you start with just the text.
But are you throwing out a name, like hoping that you're like,
that's too hard.
You don't want to throw out the name. Mm. You just want to leave it ambiguous. Start a conversation with friend.
Like Peyton.
No. Because then they say you have the wrong number. You've got to start the process with a little bit of question in the air.
Okay.
I like that story.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
It's fun.
You want a draft?
Let's do it.
The Spitballers Draft.
All right, we are drafting the best Christmas traditions, which there are so many. And this is probably, you know, very subjective. Everybody has the different
Absolutely.
Things that they like about Christmas. Our friends down in Australia, they like to go tanning on Christmas.
They go to the beach.
It's the best beach day of the year. But there's a lot of things that people do around Christmas time. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know what my number one pick is yet. Even right now.
I'm going to tell you, you got to figure that out pretty soon.
And so there are so many different things that you can do. I'm trying to think of the thing that at my core says Christmas. I feel like that's the tradition that opens the season, that means something special. There are a lot of them, however.
Mm, certainly.
To me, it is setting up the Christmas tree.
Okay. Mm.
And so
I had two first picks, and that was one of them.
Yeah, and I had a couple that I was really close between. You'll probably take the other one. But, setting up the Christmas tree is something special. Ever since I've had kids, you know, I have three. They want the tradition done exactly the same every year. We got to have some hot cocoa going.
Okay.
We got to bring the ornaments out. We've all got our special ornaments that we do that nobody else does. And we got the music playing.
So we throw Elf on in the
In the background.
Yep.
Yeah.
When I think about Christmas, when it's, let's say it's not the Christmas season or it's coming close, the putting up the Christmas tree, decorating it with the family, that is one of those traditions that is looked on so fondly, so with such high regard. When the day comes and you're having to set it up, it's always a nightmare for me. Nothing ever works. The kids don't want to do it. It's one of those that is on my list where it's like, I like in theory, but it's just never what I want it to be.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
It's okay.
All right. So,
Have a sorry to interrupt. I wanted to Google top Christmas traditions in Australia, since that is this podcast is about.
Okay.
The number one, and this is from many sources, the number one tradition is surfing Santa. Santa on a surfboard. It's a different world over there.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. I've never thought of that one, but
number
I
two,
like it.
Number two is eating prawns.
No, it's
what?
Not.
Yeah, apparently that's a big Christmas tradition.
Getting the prawns
so
on?
So wait, throwing a shrimp on the barbie isn't too far off?
No. Oh, cliches.
All right. So you took the tree. My other number one you got to go with. I mean, come on. It's opening up the presents.
Those are my. It's interesting. Those are my two.
It's opening up the presents. And like everyone, he looks. Mom and Dad, we have some presents. That's not the focus anymore. It is watching the children open presents from, you know, from family members, from Santa, whoever. But just watching the joy of them getting surprised, thinking, I didn't think I would get this, and there it is. You know, like, yeah, that's right. That's opening up the presents on the Christmas morning. Do you guys do? Fully Christmas morning.
Sorry.
He wants a little Christmas Eve action.
We'll
in here.
See. I was really, really hoping that you know both of your altruistic natures would not allow you to take opening presents as a great Christmas tradition.
Screw that crap.
It's the clear 101. I mean, say whatever you want, but that is that's kind of the main event. So well done.
It, right, was between, it was between those up. Two for me yeah. in terms of favorites.
So. Okay.
You get back-to-back picks.
Oh,
did
man.
You not realize that during this draft you would eventually be picking?
I thought Mike had two for some reason, and then it was
going
back to
I can go again. I'm happy to.
All right. There's still a handful that I really, really love. I am going to go with the one, though, that it not only kicks off the season – but it also is throughout the season. It's okay. It's a tradition that you get over and over and over and over. And it's Christmas movie nights.
That is near the top of my list.
I absolutely love Christmas movies when we throw on, you know, Buddy the Elf, and we throw on just – we. It's always – it brings the family together.
Mm-hmm.
The movies are awesome. You know, Christmas movies are fantastic.
Some of them.
Well, sure. I mean, they're not all winners, but I do. I love family movie nights, and Christmas just makes it all the more special.
What if you picked again?
That would be incredible. I'm back on the clock. Here's something that we do every time we set up our Christmas tree. It's a twofer in the Moore family.
Ooh.
It is a must on our holiday traditions. It's probably our... Like, when we think about just our family's traditions, there's two that come to mind that are every year traditions. Like, really, like, we will not have a Christmas without this thing we do. And it really is, it's Granny Linda's cocoa. It's hot cocoa night, basically.
Okay, you know, okay.
In our family, it's Granny Linda's cocoa. My mother had a recipe of homemade, I mean, we're talking, this is not, you know, break out the Swiss miss or whatever that, you know, powder that you're putting in hot water. This is your melting down chocolate. You're putting, you're drinking liquid chocolate, and it's awesome. But drinking hot cocoa, okay. That is a Christmas exclusive tradition in our family. That will be my number two.
So your hot cocoa, if you let it sit overnight, would it become a candy bar? Is it that?
Impossible to let it sit overnight.
Exactly right. Well, trick question. Impossible. You take one sip of this thing, and it will be an empty mug soon.
And real quick, to piggyback on your first pick, episode 26, we drafted best Christmas movies. So if you haven't heard that,
check it out. That's a good reminder.
We've done it all. Mike, you're up.
All right. I am going to go. So I got the opening up the presents. People do this different ways, but I will phrase it as the Christmas light walk, you go. I mean, some people do it in the car.
You're saying going around and seeing Christmas light
sightseeing. I don't know how exactly you want to put it, but our neighborhood, our street,
they do good work.
Yeah, our street is like
full psychopaths.
Is yes, we're pretty close to that point, but
I'm
where
there.
Where like people will drive to go to our street, and which it started with one house. We call it the singing house because this household, they go all out for all holidays, where you know Halloween, Christmas, whatever it is. But they have the synced lights
to the music,
and we're talking like if you lived across the street from this house, you probably loathe Christmas.
Those people,
because it is so insane. But they did it, and now like the houses, it's spreading like a virus. Where the houses next to them are starting to put the lights up, but they sync to the master command of the singing house.
Yeah.
So they're all it's just this huge area now of like eight houses, all flashing LED lights. But it's for not living there, it's fantastic.
So you walk it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say the house across the street was like, if you can't beat them, join them. Because yeah. I just dropped your daughter off at your house the other night.
They've started to get in on it.
You turn. It's like, oh, it's nighttime until you turn onto that street. And then it's straight up daylight. But only every other second, because you're right. It's literally strobe light. Like there are certain people that should not be on that street. That would cause seizures.
I think Mike should just get his answer. Should just be Christmas lights.
That's fine.
Yeah,
because
that's
I think
fine.
That I don't want to like pick putting them up separate from
sure.
Because you put them up, it's the tradition of Christmas lights on the house.
Okay, fair enough.
Which definitely would have been my next pick. So
that is my. I said we have two traditions we never go without. One is the hot cocoa. No, one is driving around looking at Christmas lights.
Yeah, we get cocoa in the mugs.
Oh, you combo.
And we drive around. Mm. It's they wear their PJs in the car, too. That's the
other third part.
Yeah. So, all right. So now I have to pick twice. And, Well, I'm going to go with Christmas music.
Okay.
Christmas music is one of the traditions of the season. Again, it goes with the tree. I love it. I'm intentional about putting it on in the car. I'm at the house. We get the records. We just got the Charlie Brown, Vince. I don't even know how to pronounce it. That Charlie Brown album, the Christmas.
Okay. The
Vince Ward.
I don't know his name, but Charlie Brown
Trio.
Christmas.
The trio of
Wolfark.
So we're just throwing out names.
The piano music.
Great football player.
Okay. I see what you.
So. Yeah, Brooks just said that's the best Christmas album.
So when you talk to your smart speaker, which, you know, whatever, Alexa, not a sponsor, what do you say? Alexa, play.
That's funny because I do that a lot.
Because, like, there's so many different types of Christmas music, but you're on command. What do you tell the computer to play?
Quick sidebar, Vince Guaraldi Trio. That is the album is.
Okay.
It's amazing. What do I tell? I say, I did this the other day in the car and I did three different versions.
Okay.
First I said, play Christmas music.
Okay. Just generic. Right? Okay.
Then I said on one, my daughter was like, oh, I want to hear like Jingle Bells and stuff. So I said, play Christmas classics.
Okay.
So that's the other one that you go to. And then I might go, if I'm in the mood, play Christmas pop music.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of the Christmas pop, but it's always when I am auto.
Get that in sync on there?
When I'm looking for good audio, I usually go with just Alexa, play Christmas music.
Okay. Yeah, I go with the Christmas standards or Christmas classics. I want that. I want the Bing. I want the Sinatra.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have the Sinatra Christmas album.
Oh, yeah.
And between that and the Charlie Brown Christmas album, you don't need nothing else. I mean, you could live on that.
Now, real
just breathe
quick,
it in.
Because this could be playing, you know, I assume we are, this good audio is playing through a
of
nice
course.
Speaker.
Yeah, very high
wherever
hi-fi.
They are. So real quick, if we could just do this for the listener.
Okay. What are we?
Alexa, play Christmas music. Yeah. What just happened in your house?
Nothing to very mine nice. Because mine is called computer.
Mm. And exactly 100 episodes ago on episode 76, we drafted best Christmas songs.
Oh. Well, there you go.
We did?
We did.
Al came prepared.
Well, this is, we just done it all.
Have
all
right. we done best Christmas traditions before? Is there
That's
an episode I can
question.
Go listen to?
We've done the worst ones, but not the best ones.
So now I have one more pick here, right? As we swing back around.
You went Chris, do you? Did you take two?
No.
Okay.
I have decorating the tree and I have Christmas music. You guys have done a great job of stripping me of my favorites. So I think what I'm going to go with now is Christmas dinner.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the Christmas dinner. It's the
Jack in the Box?
Not Mike's Christmas dinner. You can draft that on your own. But the family around the Christmas table, you know, you share a bunch of food and ham and whatever you're making, and you got music going and the spirit, and desserts. Christmas desserts are great. It's wonderful. I'm getting into. I'm so
you
excited. Are
you putting you in the spirit now?
Yeah.
There we go. All right. Okay. I have
regular Mr. Kringley.
All right. I'm gonna go with. These are this whatever. I mean, polls, whatever. This is a very specific for the rights, and I think it's a lot of people actually now do it. But I will go with the ice skating. That doesn't get to happen a lot around these parts when you live in the desert.
Okay.
But at Christmas time, there is
you do that every year, don't you?
Yeah, we do. There is a particular area shopping complex where they deck everything out. They do the fake snow and they put up an ice rink. And they got the Christmas jams going on, and we always go once a year, and we go have ourselves a good ice skate. And you go, which is basically everyone trying to remember how to ice skate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people bruising up the butt cheeks a little bit, maybe
I
the
don't
elbows.
Do skating. I don't do ice skating. That is one that if we had worst Christmas traditions, that would be on my list because
you should learn, man. It's a delight.
That goes with his other Christmas tradition of Christmas time hospital visit.
Yes. No, thank you. All right. So I am.
Just keep your butt down and you're good.
Okay. Now I assume this
like
is
on the ice.
Yeah. Sure. You can't fall if you're already there. Right.
I would love to go ice skating if I get a sled. You just pull me around on the ice.
Well, I think they have like. Yeah, I think they could provide like almost, not a walker, but something like that to help you keep your balance.
A walker? ice walker. Yeah,
it's what they use to teach kids how to skate.
Yeah. I need more than two legs, is what you're saying.
Yes.
All right. So I assume that this one is different enough than Mike's. Override it if you want. I've got enough on my list, but it is something we do every year, and it is a real tradition. And this is why I cut you off, because we always have the one Christmas Eve present.
It's different enough for me.
You get to open one present on Christmas Eve. I love that. I've had that since I was a kid. And when Tiffany and I were getting married and we're getting our first Christmas, I was like, is this going to be can we still do the one on Christmas Eve thing? And she was all about it.
All right.
Now, so, can I ask a question about that?
Yes.
This has been informative for my own traditions compared to your guys's. Is that a random gift for your family, or is it always the same thing? Because we do that,
so,
but they always get new Christmas PJs.
Yeah, so here's the truth. It used to be a gift. One of the gifts I will give you on Christmas Eve.
Who picked the gift? The giver?
Okay. The giver would pick which one you get to open on Christmas Eve. And now, over the last pretty much decade, so this is what it is now, and I didn't say this because it's lame, but yes, it's the pajamas. Now we always open pajamas on Christmas Eve. I think
do the matching, the whole family?
No, okay. We've done it before, but for the most part, everyone gets like a
new
PJ
pair.
Set that they would love to wear. They wake up at Christmas morning in the PJs, and that way the pictures look good.
Close out the your draft there.
I'm gonna go. Oh, there's a few left. I'm gonna do Reading the Christmas Story.
Yeah,
that's okay. One where okay. Every Christmas can't go through Christmas without the reason for the season. So my family, we always read the Christmas story on Christmas Eve, and
wonderful.
That's my tradition,
Mike.
And this one is very specific to the rights, but this is how I grew up. And
Jack in the Box.
No, there's way better than Jack in the Box. You'll be in on this one. Disneyland. Disneyland during the holidays has been a trip I have taken probably 80% of my life. And
did that as a kid?
Yes. Yeah, because we live in Arizona, so you're 6 hours away in the car from Disneyland. And if you have not experienced Disneyland for the holidays, and you can't, you've got the ability, trust me, bring your children to Disney while all the Christmas stuff is up. Magic. It is a magical trip.
And this is a very big show, and if you tell people to do that, it's going to be more busy when
I go. Take it all back. That place sucks.
my family just got back from Disneyland.
Oh, brother.
And it was Christmased out. And I'm telling you, if you go, you got to do the fireworks show.
Yeah. In Main Street.
In Main Street. You got to
find
a spot on Main Street.
Oh, man.
I will.
It's wonderful.
I will not tell you whether I cried with my children.
That's fine.
I cried a lot.
One of our trips, we got my wife's brother to bring his family down. And they are not Disney people. That's like, there are Disney people and there are not Disney people.
And there are scoundrels.
But we got them to go. We got them to agree because it's expensive to go. And we did. We did the fireworks, and this guy was bawling.
Yeah.
Just bawling. And he's like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
It's like, that's right. This place is magical during the holidays.
Well, I'll add that to my Disneyland list.
Yes, sir.
All right. I'll close things out with something that Christmas does, a tradition that I think it begets in almost everybody, which is Christmas giving, because it's an amazing time of year with, you know, whether it's Angel Tree or toy drives families and the ability to come together as human beings with slightly more concern for other people than for ourselves. The tradition of giving at Christmas is one that I appreciate, and it seems like a time in which tradition transcends things that are going on around you. And Christmas can get people just a little bit happier.
I love that.
Yeah, it's great. You guys, did you ever hear the story of, I believe it was World War One, where
I've heard of World War One. Yes.
Yeah. No. Look,
heck of a story.
But for World War One, terrible time. but like, there's a story about on Christmas, like somehow.
Oh, the ceasefire.
There was a ceasefire, and like the opposing sides, like, got together and did something, which is just
before going back to killing one another.
Right, and previously that's all they were doing. It's like the insane power of the holidays and Christmas. Christmas, that owl, the Christmas truce of 1914.
Correct.
Like, that is absurd. I can't even imagine that what they've got going on with their lives, and they're like, no, it's Christmas. Time out. We're all going to hang out and celebrate
That's
Christmas.
That's pretty crazy.
Wow.
Now, one that I'm glad none of us chose was Christmas caroling.
Oh, man.
Oh, get it out of my life.
It's awful. I wouldn't subjugate myself or others to that.
As a child, the Wrights are a very musical family, not just mine, but our entire extended family.
You have to do it.
I was dragged to many caroling sessions.
If I opened my door and there was a good group of good carolers, I think that would be awesome.
Right.
I would not mind that. I think that would be really good. It's never happened in my life,
but that
would be great.
You're not going to know unless the door is open. And then if they're bad, you just
have to sit there. You call the slow close.
And I wouldn't slow close. I would sit there and wait.
Wait,
forever.
We talked about caroling on the worst traditions, Jeremy?
We did.
So yeah,
you guys are staying true to form.
Yeah, that sounds right.
All right.
What did we learn today?
What did we learn today? I learned that Mike went skydiving. I had no idea. I've known Mike a long time. And
That's
knowing
right,
Mike
I did
now
it.
As a person who doesn't go on all the crazy rides and does get sick now, I was shocked to find that out.
Yeah.
Do you have one?
Yeah, I learned that Santa surfs in Australia this time of year, which is summer.
Yeah.
I've never really thought about it, but I learned that the pillow is the most important part of sleeping.
That's a good point. It's true.
That'll do it for today's Spitballers episode. Thank you for tuning in, supporting the show, sharing it with your friends. Leave us a review. We read them all, and they're wonderful.
Enjoy holidays. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Spitballers podcast. To see what other nonsense the guys are up to, check out spitballerspod.com.